Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. In a moment, we will get into today's episode of Inspector Thorne after a word from our great sponsors at audible.com. The original air date on today's program is August 24th of 1951, and this will be the Mastermind Murder Case.
And now the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in the Mastermind Murder Case. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau, whose investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of crime fiction. An investigator smart enough to claim he is dumb and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the Mastermind Murder Case. The scene opens in one of New York's big banks. All is quiet and serene at a paying teller's window as the beautiful and socially prominent Jessica Monterey, wife of the bank's president, steps up to the teller's window, and we hear him say the words that are the prelude to violence and murder.
Good morning, Mrs. Monterey. It's nice to see you here.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb. I have a check for $50 I'd like you to cash.
Certainly, Mrs. Monterey. Well, I'm sure this is one check we needn't look up, drawn by the wife of the president of the bank.
I suppose so.
Here you are, 20, 40, 50.
Thanks. Is my husband here?
Yes, in his office. But he has someone with him. He won't be more than a few minutes. Wouldn't you like to wait for him?
No. No, I have a very important appointment.
Mrs. Monterey, I see the door of your husband's office opening now. Oh, she's already gone. That's the bank alarm bell. They've blown up the big safe. It's a holdup. They're killing the guards. Call the police.
And a few minutes later, we see Inspector Thorne running into the bank with his right-hand man, Sergeant Muggan, as he says,
Sergeant Muggan, get that crowd out of the way.
Stand back, everybody. We're the police.
Nobody leave the bank. I'm Inspector Thorne of Homicide.
Inspector Thorne, I'm John Lamb, the chief teller of the bank.
How do you do, Mr. Lamb? Tell me what happened here. Looks more like a massacre than a bank holdup.
Those bodies are four of our guards, shot down in cold blood. And the bank's main safe was blown wide open.
What did the robbers do? Kill the guards to get at the safe?
No, Inspector Thorne. I heard a terrific explosion as the safe was blown up. Then I saw the robbers run through here on their way out, killing the guards as they made their escape.
You mean the robbers blew up the safe and then killed the guards? Strange. Sergeant Muggan.
Yes, Chief.
Take the fingerprints of this one body.
Just from one body, Chief? Not the other three?
No, this one only, Muggan.
Okay, Chief.
Now, Mr. Lamb, the president of this bank is Stanley Monterey, isn't he?
Yes, Inspector Thorne. Follow me. I'll take you to his office. Mr. Monterey.
Yes, what is it, Lamb?
This is Inspector Thorne of the police, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, come in, Inspector Thorne. Terrible business, this.
Yes, it is.
You may go now, Lamb.
Yes, sir. Fortunate thing, Mr. Monterey, that your wife ran out of the bank the very moment the safe was blown. Why, she might have been killed by the bandits.
My wife here? Well, she didn't tell me at breakfast she was coming.
I cashed a check for her, sir. She asked for you, but wouldn't wait. Said she had an urgent appointment.
Well, all right, Lamb. Go ahead now.
Yes, sir.
Well, Inspector Thorne, this is a dreadful thing. Four of our trusted guards murdered. Our big safe blown. Millions in currency stolen. What is your analysis?
My analysis is very simple, Mr. Monterey.
Simple?
It's an inside job.
Inside job? How could it be? That's impossible.
Mr. Monterey, of course you've heard of the famous English bank robber, George Bridgewater.
George Bridgewater? No, I haven't.
You haven't? I thought every banker in the world had.
Well, I haven't, Thorne.
All the big jobs Bridgewater has pulled have been in collusion with someone who works in the bank.
Really?
Usually in collusion with a high official of the bank, Mr. Monterey. And you say you've never heard of him?
I've already said that twice, Inspector Thorne.
Well, from the whole setup of the job in your bank, Mr. Monterey, I'd say Bridgewater engineered it from the inside.
Very well, then. He did. Any other questions you'd like to ask?
No, none, thank you. But it is curious that a banker of your standing never heard of the world's most famous bank robber. Goodbye, Mr. Monterey.
Get any leads from Mr. Monterey, Chief?
No leads, Sergeant Muggan. Only an idea that may be very right or very wrong. We'll start back to the Homicide Bureau now. I have some checking to do.
And later, as Inspector Thorne returns to the Homicide Bureau, he finds a visitor waiting.
Inspector Thorne, at last.
Yes?
I have to see you. Oh, I'm Mrs. Monterey. Mrs. Stanley Monterey.
Mrs. Monterey, the wife of the head of the bank that was just robbed?
Yes.
Won't you sit down?
I'm so worried about the bank robbery.
Why, Mrs. Monterey?
It's that dreadful man, Jerome Wallace. What right has he to say that my husband's involved in the bank robbery and murders?
Who is this Jerome Wallace?
He owns a lot of the bank's stock. He's very rich.
Mrs. Monterey, have you any idea why Wallace is making these accusations?
I think he's insane.
Did your husband and Wallace ever quarrel?
No, never.
Doesn't it seem strange to you that Wallace should deliberately accuse the head of his own bank of such crimes? You can think of nothing that might have aroused Jerome Wallace's suspicions, his apparent malice.
No.
Look here, Mrs. Monterey. You must tell me the truth. You know that Wallace has some motive, and you know what that motive is.
No.
Does your husband know you're here?
Oh, no. No, I came here because I wanted to save my husband.
Because you were in some way responsible for his trouble?
No. No.
You have something on your mind that your husband doesn't know about. Something you don't want him to find out.
He must never find out. Stanley's so hot-tempered, he'll be wild if he knows about it.
Your husband hot-tempered? About something Jerome Wallace has done? Tell me, Mrs. Monterey, just what is your connection with this man, Wallace?
I met Jerome Wallace at a dinner a few months ago. He kept annoying me, making advances.
Go on.
Finally, I had to tell him to keep away from me, that I loved my husband. He got very ugly. He said he'd get even.
And you're asking me to believe that is why he's now attacking your husband?
It's all my fault, Inspector Thorne. Oh, I wish I'd never met Jerome Wallace.
Mrs. Monterey, what were you doing in the bank? And why did you run out of there just before the safe was blown up and four men were murdered?
Well, I just happened to be there to cash a check.
You know, I'm a little slow thinking. When I meet a lady like you, I just don't know what to make of things. I mean, your being there and running out of the bank at just the right moment.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You seem very shaky, Mrs. Monterey. Are you well enough to go home alone?
Oh, yes, Inspector Thorne. Besides, some friends, Mr. and Mrs. Stewart, drove me over in their car. They're waiting downstairs.
Oh, they must be very old friends to be so much in your confidence.
Oh, not old friends. We've only known each other about a month. Oh, they don't know why I've come to see you.
Well, I don't want to hurry you, Mrs. Monterey, but there's someone waiting to see me.
Goodbye, Inspector Thorne.
Goodbye, Mrs. Monterey. Sergeant Muggan.
Yes, Chief.
Follow Mrs. Monterey downstairs. Get the license number of the car she drives off in. And put some men on to tail her constantly. Hurry.
Right. And that stool pigeon you sent for is outside, Inspector Thorne.
I know he is. Come in, Harvey.
Okay, Inspector Thorne. What do you want?
I want you to answer a few questions. We're holding two men for that big bank robbery and murders. Their names are Kelly and Smalls. You know them, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, you know as well as I do, Harvey, they're not smart enough to pull a job like that alone. Tell me who's behind them. What's the man's name?
I don't know. I don't know nothing about it.
Then why are you shaking like that?
I don't want to end up in the morgue.
Tell us who masterminded it, Harvey.
All I know is they call him Mr. Big. Nobody knows his name.
Mr. Big, huh?
I never seen him. Honest, Inspector Thorne, You know me. I helped you cops many the time, but this one is murdered.
That's all you'll tell me?
That's all I know, Inspector Thorne.
All right, Harvey. You can go.
Thanks, Inspector Thorne.
I got that license number on the car Mrs. Monterey was in, Chief. You get anything from Harvey?
Only that somebody did mastermind the bank robbery and murders. A Mr. Big.
A Mr. Big? Is that the English bank robber Bridgewater you were telling me about, Chief?
That's for us to find out, Muggin.
You could have knocked me over with a feather when the wife of the head of the bank that Mrs. Monterey walked in. I tell you what, Chief.
Come in.
Inspector Thorne, they got that stool pigeon, Harvey. They shot him a block away.
What? Killed Harvey?
They work fast and effectively, Mr. Big's men.
They sure do.
Hello, this is Inspector Thorne.
Inspector Thorne, this is Stanley Monterey, head of the bank. I must see you at once.
Where are you, Mr. Monterey?
The bank. This is urgent.
I'll be right over. You have something new about the bank robbery and murders, Mr. Monterey?
Yes, yes, Inspector Thorne. New trouble. It's a man named Jerome Wallace, one of our biggest stockholders. He's kicking up a row that could embarrass both the bank and myself.
How?
Why, this Wallace has virtually accused me of having a hand in the robbery.
But you have a reputation beyond reproach.
That seems to make no difference to Jerome Wallace, Inspector Thorne.
What's this man Wallace's background?
Well, he's made a lot of money in oil, bought up a lot of the bank's stock.
And you have no idea why he's making this charge?
No, none at all.
You know, Mr. Monterey, I've never heard the like of the story you're telling me.
Well, whether you have or not, Inspector Thorne, I tell you this man is out to cause me trouble.
And you still say, Mr. Monterey, you've never heard of the English bank robber Bridgewater.
I told you before I've never heard of him, Inspector Thorne. And I'm not accustomed to having my word questioned.
Maybe that's because you've never had the police to deal with before, Mr. Monterey. Well, Sergeant Muggin, here we are, waiting to see Mr. Jerome Wallace, the man Monterey says accuses him of the robbery.
Yeah, and the one Mrs. Monterey told you was making passes at her.
Hmm.
Well, Inspector Thorne, what can I do for you?
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Wallace? This is Sergeant Muggin.
Delighted.
How do you do?
Mr. Wallace, we're here about the robbery and murders at the bank.
Well, you don't have to look any further than the head of the bank, Stanley Monterey.
Yes, I've heard that's your opinion. But we can't convict Mr. Monterey simply on opinions. On what facts do you base your suspicions?
Inspector Thorne, my suspicions about him are something I cannot ignore.
Then I tell you, Mr. Wallace, that this job was engineered by the famous English bank robber, Bridgewater.
Bridgewater? Bridgewater? Name is familiar to me. Oh, yes, yes, now I remember. One time I was in London, a robbery of Berlin's bank. Could he be working with Monterey?
I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Now, this throws an interesting light on the case, Inspector Thorne.
Mr. Wallace, you could help the police a great deal if you would not make your accusations against Stanley Monterey public just yet.
All right, Inspector Thorne, let's put it this way. If Monterey doesn't return the money to the bank, or if you can prove someone else took it, I will make my accusation of Monterey public at the end of 3 days.
You're asking a lot of a slow-thinking police officer like me to close up an important case like this in 3 days. But I'll do my best, Mr. Wallace, to deliver up the criminal.
If you're unsuccessful, Thorne, I'll feel it my civic duty to expose Stanley Monterey.
Inspector Thorne in The Mastermind Murder Case will return in just a moment. But first, it's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Tonight, be sure to hear Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, as he brings you the story of the Fire Escape Murder Case. And here are a few reminders about Sunday evening's radio features. First, there's Tom Conway as Gentleman Detective Simon Templar, alias the Saint. Then screen actor Lloyd Nolan brings you another hard-hitting story as Martin Kane, Private Eye. And actor Carlton Young comes to the NBC microphone in the double role of Philip Galt and the Whisperer. As the Whisperer, he is able to enter the underworld, gain the confidence of criminals, and solve many of the cases which have long baffled the law enforcement authorities. Then, later Sunday evening, join Mr. Moto, the ace Japanese-American security agent, sworn to uphold world peace and bring to justice those who would push the world into another global conflict. Then, on Thursday evening, we present Dimension X, which features stories dealing in time and space and brought to you in future tense. Hear Dimension X next Thursday. Well, there you have it, a brief rundown of the programs you soon will hear. Programs designed for the best in summer radio entertainment and heard on this, your NBC station. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the Mastermind Murder Case. Now, at the office of the Homicide Bureau, with just 3 days to solve the gigantic robbery and murders at a great Wall Street bank, Inspector Thorne bears down on his pursuit of the mysterious Mr. Big, the man behind the crime. Sergeant Muggan enters, downcast.
Chief, here's a report on the banker's wife, Mrs. Monterey.
Oh, let's see it, Muggan. Look how often Mrs. Monterey has been seeing Mr. and Mrs. Stewart, those people who were in the car with her when she came here to see me.
So what?
They only met a month ago. A woman like Mrs. Monterey doesn't ordinarily make intimate friends so fast. Muggan, I want you to get 2 tickets to the Bijou tonight.
You and me going to a show, Chief?
This morning's paper says that Mrs. Monterey is going there with the Stewarts. You and I are going, too. And we're going to meet them there. Accidentally, of course.
Oh, I think it's very good.
Well, I don't go for this play, Inspector Thorne. I'm glad it's intermission.
There's Mrs. Stanley Monterey over there, Muggan, with the Stewarts. Follow me.
Right, Chief.
Good evening, Mrs. Monterey.
What? Inspector Thorne. How nice. And Sergeant Muggan. Are you enjoying the play?
It's too heavy for me.
Really, Sergeant Muggan? My husband often gets bored, too. That's why I'm so glad to have Clifton and Virginia Stewart to go with. Oh, I want you to meet them. Mr. and Mrs. Stewart, Inspector Thorne, Sergeant Muggan.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Inspector Thorne, the detective? I've often thought I'd make a good detective myself.
Oh, is that so?
But construction's my job.
Will you excuse me? There's some other friends of mine over there, and I'd like to say hello. Come along, Virginia.
All right, Jessica.
Yeah, Inspector Thorne, I'd like a word with you.
What about, Mr. Stewart?
It's about Mrs. Monterey. She's in a state over the bank robbery.
She is she? Have you been following the case closely, Mr. Stewart?
Yes, I've been following it in the papers. They certainly had a clever schedule worked out.
Schedule. Oh, yes.
And, of course, Mrs. Monterey is always talking about it.
Have you discussed it with Mr. Monterey, too?
I never met him. Mr. Monterey doesn't like going to shows very much, so we just naturally keep his wife company. Now, I like a good problem play. I suppose that's why I'm sensitive to Mrs. Monterey's feelings.
About the robbery and murders?
That's right. Now, knowing Mrs. Monterey and all, I've been doing some thinking, and I bet I could give you a tip or two.
Well, I could use some help. I'm getting the idea. I'm pretty dumb catching on to this case. Tell you what, Mr. Stewart, here's my card.
Oh, thanks, Inspector Thorne.
Drop in and see me in the morning. Wait a minute. I think I've given you the wrong card. May I have it back?
Yeah, sure thing.
Here's the right one. Well, I'll be looking forward to your tips in the morning.
See you tomorrow, Inspector Thorne.
Good night, Mr. Stewart.
That character's a windbag, Chief.
Just a big butter and egg man, eh, Muggan?
Sure, typical.
That's where you're wrong. Clifton Stewart's not typical. He's cunning. And he's not an American. He's an Englishman. He's an international crook.
What?
Yes, Muggan. From the way Stewart used one word, I know he's not an American, but an Englishman. And I think the fingerprints I tricked him into giving me on this card will show he's the famous English bank robber Bridgewater.
And shortly after the theater, across town, we hear 2 men's voices on the telephone.
Hello?
Hello, this is Bridgewater.
Yes?
I ran into Inspector Thorne at the theater tonight. I'm seeing him tomorrow to give him my
theories on the case.
Well, that should be amusing. You know what to say.
He's shrewd, though he claims to be dumb.
Well, I'm shrewder. Have you met the man I told you to meet?
Not yet.
Well, work on it. There's no time to lose.
Now, next morning at the Homicide Bureau, things are beginning to happen. Inspector Thorne looks up as Sergeant Muggan enters excitedly.
What do you think of this, Inspector Thorne? Another stool pigeon, Big Mouth Louie, made it his business to get hold of me. He told me who Mr. Big is.
Who is he, Muggan?
It's the head of the bank, Stanley Monterey.
Monterey? Big Mouth Louie told you that?
Word for word. Stanley Monterey is Mr. Big.
I've got something for you, too, Muggan. I have the report on Clifton Stewart's fingerprints. He is the famous English bank robber, Bridgewater.
Then Stewart's Mr. Big and Monterey ain't.
Muggan, my hunch is that Bridgewater, alias Clifton Stewart, is working for someone else. And that this someone else is the real Mr. Big. Hello?
Mr. Clifton Stewart's here to see you, Inspector Thorne.
Have him come in. Well, speak of the devil, Muggan. Here's Stewart in person.
What a nerve that bird's got to come here. I'll have my gun ready, Inspector Thorne. This Bridgewater might be dangerous.
He is dangerous, Muggan.
Good morning, Inspector Thorne.
Well, glad you came, Mr. Stewart. Have a chair.
Oh, thanks. Morning, Sergeant Muggan.
Morning.
You said you had some theories on the case, Mr. Stewart.
Yes, Inspector Thorne. I read you've been checking people like this Harvey Zaffer, the crook who was bumped off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems to me that petty crooks like that couldn't possibly have managed something as big as this bank holdup, killing four men.
As a matter of fact, we know there's a Mr. Big behind this.
A Mr. Big? I might have known you'd be on the ball, Inspector Thorne.
Yes, we're pretty sure there was some mastermind behind the bank robbery and murders. Someone who might have been a successful businessman if his mind weren't twisted. An executive. Or a successful construction man like yourself.
Yes, or a banker. Inspector Thorne, you're barking up the wrong tree. This is an inside job. And my tip is to look for someone who knows the bank inside out.
That makes sense, Mr. Stewart. Had the same idea myself.
You did?
We know another thing. Mr. Big is also ruthless. Muggan, you may have wondered why I took fingerprints off just one of the murdered men at the robbery. The laboratory has verified my suspicions. That was the body of a crook, a member of Mr. Big's gang.
Mr. Big had one of his own men bumped off?
What?
Sure. That's what this Mr. Big always does. He kills off his confederates and keeps the loot himself.
How did you know this, Chief?
From the way the body was lying. Out of the line of the machine gun fire that killed the other victims.
You're sure Mr. Big put his own man on the spot?
Oh, absolutely. But the funny thing is, he missed getting the one man he really wanted out of his way. The actual leader of the holdup, the famous English bank robber, Bridgewater.
Who did you say he missed getting?
The famous English bank robber, a fellow named Bridgewater.
Well, that's certainly interesting, Inspector Thorne. But I'm taking up too much of your time, so I'll say goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Stewart.
What a cool customer.
More than cool, Muggan. He's got a bad case of the chills now that he knows how Mr. Big treats his boys.
Hello?
This is Bridgewater.
Well?
I saw Thorne. He's on to Mr. Big, but he doesn't know who he is. Listen, what are you planning for me?
What do you mean?
I know you had one of the boys killed. Are you fixing to throw me to Thorne?
Don't be silly, Bridgewater. Why should I do that?
I think Thorne suspects me.
Don't worry. I've got my plans all made for Thorne. And there won't even be a body left when I get through.
Now, Inspector Thorne, in danger of his life, moves in on Mr. Big. But first, he goes to see Clifton Stewart, who is really the famous English bank robber, Bridgewater. And Bridgewater, tricked by Thorne into suspecting a double cross, has decided things are too hot for him. And he's frenziedly phoning an airport.
Hello? Hello? Why don't they answer? Go ahead, ring the doorbell, whoever you are. No one will answer. Hello, airport. When does the next plane leave for England? Who?
Inspector Thorne!
Hello, Mr. Stewart.
What do you mean by breaking in like this?
Sergeant Muggan here carries an assortment of passkeys.
Very simple luck, Mr. Stewart.
I was on the telephone. I suppose I might as well hang up now.
You might as well give up, Mr. Stewart. Or should I say, Bridgewater?
What are you talking about, Thorne?
I knew who you were 2 minutes after we met. By the way, you pronounced one word.
What kind of a joke?
You said it was amazing, the schedule the bank robbers worked out.
Well, so I did.
An American says schedule. Only an Englishman pronounces it schedule.
Well, that doesn't prove I'm Bridgewater.
It gave me the lead I needed. Then I got your fingerprints on that card I mistakenly gave you at the theater.
Look out, Chief.
I've got you covered. Don't move, Bridgewater, or I'll kill you.
The devil, Thorne. You'd never have gotten me if it weren't for...
For whom, Bridgewater? You might as well say it. Mr. Big betrayed you. Why should you protect him? The one chance you've got is to talk.
All right, Inspector Thorne. Mr. Big asked for it. Tried to put me on the spot, did he? Now he can burn with me.
Here I am back again, Mr. Wallace.
So, you've come, Inspector Thorne. I was afraid you'd be late. The 3 days are almost up. Well, have you got your man?
I think so.
Good, good. I was inclined to think no detective could possibly live up to your spectacular reputation.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wallace. Ah, you have a wonderful art collection. That painting is beautiful.
Yes, isn't it?
And over there, Mr. Wallace, on the wall, that pretty little picture. Pictures like that very often conceal a wall safe. Is that why you've got it there?
Conceal a wall safe?
I know it does. And I think I know what's inside of it. The millions in cash that were stolen from the bank 3 days ago and 4 men murdered.
Yes. Yes, that's right, Thorne. I'll show it to you. I'm so sorry to have to use this gun. Come over here. Here. A twirl of a dial, and here's the money.
Oh, you've got it wrapped up very neatly.
Would you like to know my plans for you?
I guess you'll take me down into the cellar.
Congratulations, you are smart.
Oh, I claim to be dumb.
I'll just relieve you of your gun. A small precaution. I think we're ready now, Inspector Thorne. Open the door. Down the stairs.
A left turn at the bottom. Isn't that right, Wallace?
You seem to have done this before. Oh, yes, yes, you're smart, but not smart enough. For years I've outwitted you and your kind, Thorne. The police never knew I existed. They blamed the crimes on other people.
Like Bridgewater.
You know of that, eh? My compliments. You know too much.
And that's why you're going to take me into the little room with the thick walls and then dispose of my remains in the incinerator.
You are too smart, Inspector Thorne. But you won't bother me much longer.
Other men like you have cornered me, Wallace, without getting away with it.
Other men were not Mr. Big. Now there's the door to the little room, Thorne. Open it. Step in, Thorne. Step in!
Get against that wall, Wallace. You're covered.
Good work, Sergeant Muggan. You see, Wallace, while you were amusing yourself with me, Sergeant Muggan, with some of our men, took over your house. This time you slipped. You should have stayed at your job of being a straight criminal. Your big mistake was trying to get revenge on Mrs. Monterey, the banker's wife, because she rebuffed you. Trying to ruin her by ruining her husband.
I'll get you for this, Thorne.
Tell that to the judge and jury, Wallace. Hold out your hands for the handcuffs. I arrest you for first-degree murder.
And so ends the Mastermind Murder Case. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Carl Weber, direction by Edward Slattery. The script was written by Carol Warner Gluck and Edward Francis from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next Friday at the same time when the National Broadcasting Company will present Inspector Thorne in the Dark Cigarette Murder Case. Thank you. stay tuned for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons on NBC.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. I think this is pretty close to being the best episode of Inspector Thorne, and did make some breaks from the close quarters questioning of everyone immediately being a suspect. And there are some nice twists in there. It was kind of easy to figure out who the famous Bridgewater was. Just by the whole use of schedule, but there were a few other nice twists along the way. This is actually the very first episode of Inspector Thorne I heard, and I really did like it, and it made me curious about the rest of the series. All right, now really quickly we'll get into listener comments and feedback, and we just have one from Tim who writes in, and he says, "Well, Adam, Inspector Thorne has improved from, oh my gosh, terrible to just barely tolerable in my estimation. I know that you enjoy this series, but I'm having difficulty not shaking my head and rolling my eyes as I listen to episodes. It's just that bad. Hopefully, though, it will continue to improve. Thanks again for all of your hard work on the podcast." Well, Tim, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and one thing to keep in mind is in the 10th week of the series, we'll actually have a new actor playing Inspector Thorne, but that's still 4 weeks away, so changes definitely continue to come to the series. All right, that'll do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Richard Diamond, and then next Tuesday, it'll be another episode of Inspector Thorne. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter @Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.